The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Canada, greetings from inside the Beltway. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for joining me on this, the 24th day of June 2020 in the year of the plague. The number one story, coronavirus cases are accelerating across the U.S., according to the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times, the New York Times. The Financial Times headline is U.S. states put on brakes on reopenings as new COVID-19 cases hit record. I'm not quite sure that's true, because I understand it from East Coast to West. Governors and mayors are not shutting down. They can't afford to shut down. They've recognized the fiscal disaster that is the shutdown. They're asking people to self-care, meaning if you are older and you have an underlying condition, please don't go out. Please limit your contact with people who have been out and about. If you're younger, you don't have to worry for yourself. You may get it. It is almost certainly going to be a very mild case. You might also get in a car crash. But it is, it's like Ezekiel Elliott, the running back for the Dallas Cowboys, formerly with the Ohio State Buckeyes, was commenting yesterday. He has the virus. He can't work out yet. He's been under the weather for a couple of weeks. But he said it's not that bad. You just feel miserable. It's like the flu. Look, it's not good for anyone to get it. But getting it is going to be inevitable until we get a vaccine. Luckily, the mortality is down, and we just got to keep focusing on the fact that fewer people are dying. There is still plenty of hospital capacity across the United States. The flatten the curve thing worked, but you should be wearing a mask in public. You should be. It is going everywhere. It's going to come to your family. If you're the one who gave it to grandma, it's on your head. You probably won't know it's you because it's an invisible germ. But it is, and many people don't even know they have it. We're not certain about asymptomatic transmission yet, but just be smart. We're not shutting the country down again. Not happening. I don't know whether or not markets yesterday. Markets had a bad day yesterday. Let me bring you the market report brought to you by Birch Gold. Birch Gold, by the way, gold is today at $1,770. I hate to rub people's noses in it, but I told you to diversify your portfolio last year, and I've been doing it every day since for Birch Gold. You go to HughGold.com for your information on how to do that or to buy gold. You can text my name, Hugh, to 474747. But Birch Gold will help you diversify your retirement funds, put 10, 20, some people put 30% into precious metals. I don't. But it's a little bit of a ballast against all the ups and downs of everything else you own, whether it's bonds and stocks or cash. Real estate or interest in various businesses, precious metals typically retain their value even when everything else plummets. And then they make, during times of inflation, solid investments. And I think inflation is coming eventually to this country. We can't print $12 trillion of assets and put them on the Fed's books and not have inflation. But yesterday, markets were down across the board. The Dow was down 710. The NASDAQ was down 222. And the S&P was down 80. Overnight, Japan went down another 1.22%. Or I should say Japan really begins the day. It didn't go down another. It began the day. In England, there's barely no change. In Germany, it's up 0.5%. I expect America to have a good day today, yesterday, because, okay, the people took the panic yesterday. They got a little panic selling. They took some profits off the table. Amazon, let me check Amazon. That's the proxy for the tech stock. Yeah, it lost $30 yesterday, giving up 30 of the $50 it gained the day before. Wouldn't be surprised to see it retrace that today. Again, offline, off-store shopping, online shopping is zooming. And not just for Amazon, but for Costco, Target, et cetera. That's one of the ways that you limit how much skin you have exposed. That was John D. Rockefeller's advice to his son. Limit the skin that's exposed. He wasn't talking about sunblock. He was talking about how do you make yourself less vulnerable to attacks by the public? How do you make your portfolio less vulnerable to attacks by the virus? You invest in stocks that do well during the virus. One of those is Amazon, or you buy gold. And gold and precious metals are invulnerable to the virus. As people panic, they don't. So go to HughGold.com. I expect the coronavirus stories will keep coming at you. The key thing is limit your close contact with strangers. Just that's it. Limit your close contact with strangers. Don't go to big crowds. Don't go to bars. Don't go to jammed in concerts. That's a thing of the past. But you can go to church if you sit 5 feet apart from each other. You can go to an outdoor restaurant if the tables are 3 feet apart and the servers have got gloves on. You can do all that kind of stuff. We're not shutting down the economy again. We can't afford it. We can't afford the destruction of people's lives. That's one story. The other major story of the day, and it is the story I want to spend the most time on, is General Flynn has been exonerated. He did not lie. He pled to a lie in order to save his son and to say he was out of money. General Flynn has his reputation back, but he doesn't have 3 years of his life back. To this very day, he could be the National Security Advisor. We would have had no Mueller probe. If Andrew McCabe, James Comey, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and probably the president and the vice president hadn't lied, and that's President Obama, not President Trump, and it's Vice President Biden, not Vice President Pence. Notes that are purportedly written by Peter Strzok on conversations between Sally Yates and the president, the vice president, and Comey indicate they knew about the conversations that General Flynn had with the Soviet ambassador, Kislyak, and they didn't care. They did not care. There's nothing extraordinary about them. But Comey appointed, what Comey ought to have done is he didn't like Trump. He should have told him the truth. You're under investigation by Mr. Strzok here, by Mrs. Page, and by a whole bunch of people. And if they find something, they're coming out. But I quit. I can't work for you. Instead of trying to entrap him, he should have quit on day one. And General Flynn would still be in the job. They entrapped Flynn. Flynn got justice yesterday. Donald Trump talked about it yesterday. Cut number three in the Rose Garden. No, cut number two in the Rose Garden.
Happy about General Flynn. He was treated horribly. He was treated very, very horribly by a group of very bad people. And I think you'll see things are going to start to come out. But what happened to General Flynn should never happen again in our country. He was persecuted, and many other people were persecuted. They spied on a campaign, and they should never spy on a campaign, to put it mildly. It never happened before in the history of our country. The Obama administration spied on a campaign. This is just the first one. He's been exonerated, and I want to congratulate him. He's been through a lot. He's been through a lot. He had great courage, great fortitude. But they spied on a campaign. There's never been anything like that happen. If that were the other way around, people would be in jail for 50 years already.
They spied on the campaign. Absolutely true. Christopher Wray, the current FBI director, was on Fox News with Brett Baer last night. Here is what he had to say. Cut number 10.
Decisions about producing documents in a criminal prosecution are typically handled by the prosecutors. I will say that, of course, the Flynn investigation, which took place before I started, and then by the time I started was in the hands of the special counsel's office, is something that has, in my view, raised serious concerns and questions, which is why I ordered an after-action review by our inspection division to take a look at whether or not the FBI's policies and procedures need to be changed, and if there are any current employees left who may bear any responsibility for misconduct.
Why is that Donald Trump the only one to speak the truth clearly about this? The Obama administration, through James Comey, Andrew McKay, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and others, spied on the Trump campaign. Then they sabotaged the Trump transition. Then they sabotaged the first 2.5 years of the Trump administration. All on a trumped-up charge, all because of Comey, who was a bad guy. He's a bad guy, if you will understand that. And Joe Biden knew. That's the whole thing you need to know, is Joe Biden knew. Joe Biden's in the basement because he doesn't want to have a press conference where people ask him about these handwritten notes that show he's in the meeting when they talk about this. Joe Biden knew it all. Joe Biden knew about the spying. He knew about the plan. He knew that Comey was a rotten guy. Joe Biden knew. And you ought to know that, too. 1-800-520-1234. Do you get how significant this is? Joe Biden knew, and he wants to be your president so he can use the FBI again as a plaything to get you if you oppose him. Stay tuned. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. The summer songs you hear come from the Spotify list of the top 50 summer songs. They had to be released during the summer and make number one. I didn't know any song had done that. I did like John Denver, though. Saw him in concert a few times. Welcome back, America. Wall Street Journal lead editorial today. Michael Flynn gets his writ. Wednesday was a good day for former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn after a D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals panel ordered a lower court judge to dismiss the case against him. It was an even better day for American justice and the principle of separated powers that undergirds it. In a 2-1 ruling, Judge Naomi Rao and Karen Henderson granted Mr. Flynn's request for a writ of mandamus, directing federal Judge Emmett Sullivan or a replacement to dismiss the case as the Justice Department has requested. The ruling relies heavily on an earlier case decided by the same appellate court in 2016, U.S. versus Fokker Services. The cases aren't the same. Mr. Flynn's involves a move to dismiss, while Fokker involved a deferred prosecution agreement. But at issue is both is how far a court can go before infringing on the power reserved to the executive branch. Mr. Flynn initially pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about his phone calls to Russia's ambassadors during the president's transition. But after hiring a new attorney and the discovery of evidence that had been denied to the defense, and that, this is Hugh Hewitt speaking, that is always wrong. Exculpatory evidence must be turned over. Mr. Flynn sought to vacate his plea. After an investigation ordered by Attorney General Bill Barr, the Department of Justice asked for the charges against General Flynn to be dropped, saying it no longer believed it could prove that Mr. Flynn's statements to the FBI were false. They were not even material to a legitimate investigation. That meant there was no longer a dispute between the prosecution and the defense. But instead of dropping the case, Judge Sullivan scheduled a hearing and assigned former federal judge John Gleason to present arguments against Justice's motion to dismiss and examine if Mr. Flynn should be charged with perjury. Judge Sullivan invoked Rule 48 of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, which says that the government can dismiss a case only with the leave of the court. The appellate judges disagreed with that interpretation. The key quote from Judge Rao's opinion is from Fokker. Rule 48, quote, gives no power to a district court to deny a prosecution's motion to dismiss charges based on a disagreement with the prosecution's exercise of charging authority. These words came from Judge Sri Srinivasan, an Obama appointee. Judges do have some leeway to review a prosecutorial decision, but such authority is at its lowest ebb when the executive branch uncovers an injustice or a mistaken prosecution. As Judge Rao notes, Judge Sullivan far exceeded that authority when he appointed Mr. Gleason, not only to advise him on the law, but to reinvestigate the facts of the prosecution. Mr. Gleason had written an op-ed advocating continued prosecution before Judge Sullivan appointed him and wrote his own brief against the writ of mandamus to the appellate court. Dissenting Judge Robert Wilkins strives to claim Fokker didn't apply, no doubt to induce the full D.C. Circuit to hear an appeal. But he glides over the egregious irregularity of Judge Sullivan's actions, which, if followed, would make Rule 48 a license for judges to dispute countless prosecutorial judgments they dislike. Judges Rao and Henderson deserve credit for a courageous decision that restrains a lower court when it exceeds its constitutional authority and does right by a man who is unjustly prosecuted. They ought to have had in there, it does justice to Donald Trump finally and to the entire administration and the American people. Comey should have resigned. Comey shouldn't have lied. Joe Biden knew. Donald Trump was wrongly investigated. Jeff Sessions should never have recused himself. It's an entire fiasco. And now we know. And the handwritten notes produced yesterday that are Peter Strzok's show that Joe Biden knew conclusively. Noel in Seattle, you have 30 seconds, Noel.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to know if General Flynn can now file civil litigation against Obama, Biden, Strzok, and the whole mess.
Well, it's called a Bivens case. They're very, very difficult to win, where people knowingly violate your constitutional rights. Federal authorities are knowingly exceeding their authority because they have immunity to act within their authority. But it's not impossible, and I'm sure he's looking at it. Called a Bivens case, it's the equivalent of a 1983 action against a state official. But when you're suing federal officials, you have to prove that they knowingly abused their authority. Maybe very difficult to make those work, but we will see. Don't go anywhere, America. 1-800-520-1234. Connection to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. Yesterday, Jim Jordan, House Judiciary Committee, had a chance to talk about Bill Barr. It's a long clip. I want you to hear from it. Then we're going to be joined by Detective Tom from Seattle, who's always worth chatting with. Here is Jim Jordan on the House Judiciary Committee, cut number 6.
This, I mean, the very day, you almost have to laugh at this, the very day you have a hearing going after the Barr Justice Department and alleging that there's politics involved there, the very day we get the order from the United States Court of Appeals. The order says, dismissing the Flynn case, the district court is directed to grant the government's motion to dismiss. The district court's order appointing amicus is hereby vacated. They're not political, they're just right. If there's any politics, I mean, again, you almost have to laugh if it wasn't so serious. The politics from the Attorney General Holder said he was Obama's wingman. The Obama-Biden Justice Department attacked investigative journalists. Here's what one of them said. James Risen with the New York Times said this. If a president throws a whistleblower in jail for trying to talk to a reporter or gets the FBI to spy on a journalist, he will have one man to thank for bequeathing him such expansive power, Barack Obama. That's not me talking. That's James Risen of the New York Times. When the Justice Department, the Obama-Holder-Biden Justice Department, went after him. Of course, we know about Fast and Furious. We know about Operation Choke Point. And even though Chairman always doesn't want to talk about this, we know how political the Justice Department was in the whole Russian hoax, the whole Trump-Russia investigation. Remember this. The Obama-Biden Department of Justice spied on 4 American citizens. That's the big thing you guys have with Bill Barr, too. The first time he testified in front of the Senate, he used the word spying and everyone went crazy. But he used the word spying because that's exactly what happened. They spied on 4 American citizens associated with the presidential campaign. An investigation we now know was completely bogus because Rick Grenell released all the transcripts from all the people who were involved in the intelligence community in the previous administrations, and they all said there was nothing there. The Obama-Biden Justice Department, in order to spy on those Americans, what'd they do? They lied to the FISA court 17 times. They used the now famous dossier, the dossier that Jim Comey, not Jim Jordan, Jim Comey said was salacious and unverified. They didn't tell the court the guy who wrote it was, quote, desperate to stop Trump. They didn't tell the guy who wrote it was being paid by the Clinton campaign to put it together. And they used that to get a warrant to spy on one of our fellow citizens. And you guys think that's no big deal. Bill Barr understands that's a big deal. And that's why John Durham is doing his investigation. And of course, you know who else thought it was a big deal? The Inspector General of the Justice Department, Michael Horowitz, who wrote a 400-page report talking about those 17 lies, talking about all the abuses that took place in the Comey, Biden, Obama Justice Department. But guess what? This committee, the Judiciary Committee, didn't even get a chance to ask questions of Mr. Horowitz about that report because the chairman won't bring him in to testify. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that. 400-page report written by the Inspector General of the Justice Department, scathing report about the FISA court, and the chair of the Judiciary Committee, with the storied history this committee has in protecting people's liberties, won't even let him come in and testify. Well, here's what U.S. District Judge and FISA presiding judge Rosemary Collier said about the findings in Mr. Horowitz's report. Quote, "The frequency with which representations made by FBI personnel turned out to be unsupported." Think about that. Representations made by FBI personnel turned out to be unsupported. You know what that is? That's a nice way of saying they lied. "Or contradicted by information in their possession and with which they withheld information detrimental to their case." Withheld information detrimental to their case is another way of saying they lied. "Calls into question whether information contained in other FBI applications is reliable." You put that all in simple English, what Judge Collier was saying is, you guys lied to us so many darn times, how are we supposed to believe anything you bring in front of the court? That was all in that 400-page report from the Inspector General, but Chairman Nadler won't even let Inspector General Horowitz come in here and answer our questions and go into detail about that report. And yet today, the day we get the ruling from the Court of Appeals, the chairman says it's the Trump DOJ, it's the Barr DOJ that's political. Guess what else happened in the final days of the Obama administration? Guess what else happened? 38 different people unmasked Michael Flynn's name 49 times. 49 times. Clapper, Comey, Brennan, Biden unmasked Michael Flynn. 6 people at the Treasury Department. Holy cow. Everyone, this is between Election Day and Inauguration Day. And Bill Barr just simply wants to get to the bottom of all this, and somehow that's political, when in fact the politics was in the previous administration. He's trying to stop it so it doesn't. Here's what these people said. Here's how we know this was all a joke. Clapper: "I never saw any direct evidence that the Trump campaign or someone was conspiring with the Russians." Jim Clapper said that, and yet we had a 2-year investigation by the Mueller team. Susan Rice: "I don't recall intelligence that I would consider evidence." Ben Rhodes said the same. Sally Yates: "I don't believe anybody had reached a conclusion yet as to whether Russians were conspiring with." They had nothing, yet they go through this entire investigation. Samantha Power, same thing. All these key people who were unmasking Michael Flynn's name all knew there was no predicate for the investigation, and it happened, and somehow the Barr Justice Department is political? Like I said, they're not political. They're just right, and we saw that with the decision today.
You get the gist. Jim Jordan went on the record and laid it out. Every American ought to be outraged. The whole Mueller investigation was a fraud. The entire effort by Comey, who should have resigned on day one, they lied to the president about the investigation. General Flynn has been through hell. He's been exonerated. There is no getting around the fact that Joe Biden knew. Detective Tom in Marin County, how are you, Detective?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Hewitt. How are you, sir?
I wish you'd call me you, but I'm great. Are you coming home from work, or are you going to work?
Oh, no, I'm coming home. It's 3 a.m. It's time for home.
Don't you wish you had a chop in your city? Then you wouldn't have to go to work.
The whole city. I get the irony here. Let's start with the humor. Hey, wait a minute. Doesn't Flynn have a case against his first law firm he retained that managed to go ahead and miss all of this evidence that it took his new legal team to go ahead and slide?
There is. I would be referring the matter to my carrier, and saying, lawyer up. We may face that. That might happen.
That might happen, or that is going to happen.
I have not yet heard if he's going to sue Covington and Burling. Obviously, their defense. You see, the defense they're going to mount is, you told us to settle to protect your son. And so if General Flynn doesn't want to drag his son through this again, and I still don't know why his son was implicated in something, if that was the reason they settled, you don't want to bring that case if you're Flynn.
Yeah, but he got leveraged into going ahead and making the plea to begin with on whatever. I don't know. What were the grounds? We don't know what the son was.
That's it. And he may not want to have that come through, because the defense of, I believe it's Covington and Burling, would be, we all know what you were trying to hide, and you're saying we could have hidden it. You're saying we could have done both, but we didn't know that at the time, and that is not malpractice. That is lawyering.
Okay, well, you know, that's on your end of the spectrum. We're both officers of the court. Look, ever since I've been talking to you, this started with an act of regicide by James Comey. You have to indict this guy. You have to indict James Comey. It's like Cartago Delinda F. It should be indicted.
You lost all the Steelers fans right there, Detective. That means Carthage must be destroyed. Cato the Elder finished every speech with it, so I guess Detective Tom is going to say Comey must be indicted at the end of every call. Is that right?
That's it. This guy is the worst human being. I tell my FBI guys all the time, I said, don't talk to me if you guys had anything to go at. If you ever said, you know, James Comey lied about these big things. He lied about everything else. And I'm in internal affairs, which means that every single case he and Stroke and McCabe and Baker and everybody on that seventh floor came in contact with, they need to go ahead and be reopened and examined because they've done this before. They just didn't get the idea of, oh, hey, I got an idea. Let's go ahead and come up with a fraudulent FISA warrant to a federal court judge. You just don't do that one time.
It is like every bad cop movie where they plant drugs in the backseat. You know, every bad cop movie we've ever seen, they plant evidence, right? So
done it before. They had to go ahead and get their. They don't have the testicular fortitude to do this, to come up with this little plan on their own. They did this before somewhere along their line. And their little corrupt careers, and that's how they said, hey, I've got the idea about lying to a FISA court. These guys need to go.
Well, that is what I'm counting on Durham. I think Barr picked the least likely, not just the least likely to be corrupted, but the least likely to tolerate corruption prosecutor in the United States. I think he took the guy for whom it is a raw nerve. For whatever reason, there are some things that send me into orbit. This sends him into orbit. And I think you're right, but I think Biden is involved too, and I think Obama's involved. Susan Rice is involved.
That's it. Look, the memo puts the action in the White House on January 5th, whatever that day is. We've gone from a president-elect being accused of a counterintelligence espionage act, which only a president can go ahead and order, to completely being vindicated, and now the episode, the element of the probable cause coming out of the Oval Office by his predecessor. All those guys were in the office. Now, I don't know if those struck letters are admissible, because it sounds like it could be hearsay. Was he in on that meeting?
No, he was not in the meeting. He is obviously talking to somebody afterward, getting a reconstruction of the meeting.
Yeah, but that's hearsay then, right?
That's my theory. Yep.
Okay, but hearsay is, they're extremely corrupt. As dirty as you can go ahead and get. Cartago Delinda F. I don't care what happens.
Comey.
James Comey.
But don't you like his Twitter feed, Detective? I mean, he has pictures of trees in the woods and that sort of stuff.
Look, I'm going to end up getting cut off if I say what I really want to say to you about James Comey. Okay.
It is important that people understand. They also got to understand Joe Biden knew. Even if he wasn't in the room, even if it's hearsay means you can't admit it in a court to convict someone, but it doesn't mean you can ignore it. It means that Joe Biden knew, Detective Tom. He knew.
Joe Biden doesn't know anything right now. He just knows whether or not he's having red jelly or blue jelly. And I'm sorry. The gardener's got to come in and water the poor man.
Thank you, Tom. Be well. Oh, my gosh. Todd in Florida. Go ahead, Todd.
Let's get down to business here. Nobody's done more for Donald Trump than I have, not even his kids, okay? And let me say something else here. I didn't do it for him. I did it for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's under
attack. All right, Todd, you got 10 seconds. You better hurry up.
But the bottom line is this. Let's stay focused on the task at hand. We're voting Republican for Donald Trump. We're voting Republican for Senator. We're voting Republican for the House. And we're making the Freedom Caucus take back the House. And let's get to work all the way down to your local city council.
All right, Todd. Thank you, buddy. It's nice to have endorsements. You can do that if you want to call up and say you're dead, but it doesn't make a point what we're talking about, General Flynn. Michael Oren joins us from Israel next. Stay tuned, America. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt, thank you for listening to me today. I am joined from Tel Aviv by Dr. Michael Oren, former ambassador of the great state of Israel to the United States, former deputy minister. Good morning, Ambassador Oren. How are you?
I'm great. What a great show to see you, Hugh.
I know, isn't that? It's we love doing the Skype interviews. They're finally working out, but I had to put on my coat and my, you know, I almost put on a tie, but I figured you're Israeli. You're not wearing a tie.
Yeah, it's shame.
Does anyone ever wear a tie in Israel? Anyone at all?
Actually, it's gone reversed. There was a time when nobody wore a tie and all Americans wore ties. Now Americans aren't wearing ties and Israelis are.
Oh, the world is changing. Hey, Michael, I know you don't normally do American politics, but I want you to hear and compare something the president of the United States said yesterday with what goes on inside of Israel with the trial of Netanyahu. Here's the president of the United States talking in the Oval about the spying that went on.
Happy about General Flynn. He was treated horribly. He was treated very, very horribly by a group of very bad people. And I think you'll see things are going to start to come out. But what happened to General Flynn should never happen again in our country. He was persecuted, and many other people were persecuted. They spied on a campaign, and they should never spy on a campaign, to put it mildly.
Now, Michael Oren, the Shin Bet, which is the equivalent of the FBI in Israel, do they ever spy on political actors during the course of campaigns in Israel?
No, not to the best of my knowledge, and it's pretty good knowledge, the answer is no.
And what would be the consequence if they did?
It would be a crisis, a huge political and legal crisis.
So
we're having a big debate now about whether the Shabakh, the FBI of Israel, should be monitoring those who may have coronavirus. So there are strong controls and sort of watchdogs over these organizations.
So that is the difference actually between a liberal democracy and authoritarian state, is whether or not the police act without oversight. We have an episode, and I'm not expecting you to agree or disagree with me. We have an episode now in the United States where it appears that the FBI went rogue. Has that ever happened in the years that Israel has existed in its current iteration?
Well, our FBI, our Mossad, has at times, you know, the human beings, they have political ideas, and they've gone against the democratically elected prime minister of Israel. Most recently, in my experience, and painfully, was during the whole issue of the Iranian nuclear program, where the prime minister was strongly intimated that Israel had a military option, could exercise that military option if the Iranians broke out to create a nuclear weapon. And the heads of the Mossad worked against him. In one case, went and investigated what kind of capabilities Israel had at the time, and in subsequent years came out and bragged about undermining the prime minister's authority. I went out there and condemned the former head of the Mossad because of it. I think that, I don't know if it's analogous to what's going on in the United States, but to me that is profoundly undemocratic.
That's very analogous to the situation under George W. Bush, where the CIA released its national security finding that Iran had abandoned its nuclear program. I don't know if you recall that. Didn't that stymie the United States at that point?
It did other things stymie the United States. There was the, you know, war weariness from the war in Iraq and the reluctance to get involved in another Middle East imbroglio, if you will. But you know, Israel had to reserve that right. We had to let the Iranians and the world know that not only we had the capabilities, but we had the will to use the capabilities if we had to.
Now, the prime minister is back in court, and it will go on for some period of time. Is there any suspicion that the prosecution against the prime minister is indeed based in politics, in the equivalent of Israel's James Comey and Andrew McCabe? Is there a worry that he got set up the way that General Flynn got set up?
Well, that's certainly the case that the prime minister and his supporters are making. But there has been at least one well-documented case where a senior judge operated in collusion with the prosecution against Netanyahu. And that raised serious questions marks over the entire system and has helped contribute to what is, for want of a better term, a crisis of credibility for our legal and police system.
All right, last question. In the Wall Street Journal today, there is a big story on the United States review of the annexation plan. It appears that at the highest levels of the Trump administration, they're getting ready to give a green light to this plan. Is that your understanding?
That would be my gut feeling. In previously, there have been two schools of thought on the American side. One can say it was the Jared Kushner school that said, hold off on annexation. Let's get the Saudis and the Emiratis on board on the peace plan. the other school. I headed my ambassador, David Freeman, here that says, let's move annexation now as a way to broadcast to the Palestinians that the price for leaving the table, right? And the idea now is to exact that price from the Palestinians, but in such a way that it doesn't chase away the Saudis and the Emiratis. So it's going to be walking a fine line. It'll be very interesting to see what the administration says, because in the Israeli government, both Prime Minister Netanyahu, of course, as well as Benny Gantz, have come out in favor of annexation.
Ambassador Youssef Fatahi gave a speech that seems to indicate the Emiratis would walk away. Do you think that's a bluff?
I would prefer that they actually, instead of the annexation, I wish the Emiratis would establish open relations with us, open an embassy. And that would show the Palestinians that there's a price to pay, but it would also show Israelis that there's a dividend to get from signing up on the Trump peace plan.
But not do the annexation.
I would prefer to have that, certainly.
Oh, interesting. Michael Oren, more next week. Thank you for joining me from Tel Aviv. I like your study, Dr. Oren. You're like Robert Gates, who I talked to yesterday. Everybody's got these book line studies. I want one of those. Thank you very much, sir. I'll be right back, America. Hour number two of today's Hugh Hewitt Show coming up.